Got your Bibles handy, turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. When you get there, stand with me, please. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 30, and he said, we're talking about Jesus, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that shall be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them. He's talking about his disciples. And they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Shall we pray? Father, I love you and praise you. Thank you for this time you've given me to stand before your people to share your holy and blessed word. I pray, Lord, as we break the bread of life, you'll give me the words to say. Lord, I just pray that your spirit would speak to our hearts. And Lord, may we grow in your word. May we grow in wisdom and knowledge of your truths, that we might be more fruitful and be the servants you've saved us to be. Again, I pray that your word will encourage your people this morning. And I pray that your word, if there be one amongst us that doesn't know Christ and the free pardon of sin, it would convict them, compel them to come to Jesus before it's too late. Father, you've heard the prayer requests. We just lift them before you and seek that your will be done. We pray that everything that we say and do this morning brings honor and glory to you. Let us all, when we leave your house this morning, say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. What did I do with my water? I want to speak to you this morning just for a little bit. I won't try to keep you too long, but I'd like to talk to you about the kingdom of God. Amen? Are you glad to be a part of the kingdom of God? I know I am. I'm very thankful that I am a part of God's kingdom. Now, I don't deserve to be, neither do you, but God, through His grace, has offered us an opportunity of a lifetime. He's offered us the greatest thing we could ever receive on this earth, and that's salvation, forgiveness, and to become heirs of His. So I'm glad to be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is talking about parables. Everybody knows what a parable is, right? A parable is an earthly story that has a spiritual what? Truth in it. And He's speaking to His disciples about this truth, and He's sharing this parable, and He talks about a mustard seed. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen mustard seed, but boy, they're small. Amen? In fact, a mustard seed, it takes 750 of them to make a gram. There are 28 grams in an ounce. Do you understand? That's over 21,000 mustard seeds just to make up an ounce. So they're very, very small. And in the Lord's day, when they would plant that mustard seed, even though it was small, it seemed insignificant. When it germinated in the right ground, it grew. And in some cases, it would grow a plant that would literally grow from 12 to 15 feet tall. Isn't that amazing? That little bitty mustard seed. Well, when Jesus is describing this parable to His disciples about the mustard seed, what He's talking about in the mustard seed is what? The kingdom of God. It started small. In fact, Zechariah said in chapter 4, in verse 10, who has despised the day of small things? Now, I'm not too small. I've got a middle. Amen. Can't help it. That's the way God made me. But the church, the kingdom of God, began as a very small thing. And let's go ahead and say it. people, when Jesus was on this earth walking in his ministry, preaching the kingdom, people mocked him. You see, people thought, there's nothing ever going to become of this. This man's crazy. After all, he had a humble beginning. He was born in poverty in a stable. And besides that, no man of God ever came out of Galilee. And besides that, he doesn't have any money. His family isn't well renowned and known. The religious leaders of that day, they have nothing to do with him. And those people that are following him, they're a bunch of losers. I mean, they're uneducated fishermen. They're revolutionaries. They're the dregs of society. And then when Rome crucified him and he died and was buried, and the disciples went about preaching about his resurrection, they said, they're nuts. My goodness, who's going to follow a dead man? Those people ain't right in the minds. But what they failed to see was this. The fact was this. God sent his Son into the world to die for our sins, so that you and I might be reconciled to God through his atonement on the cross of Calvary. And the kingdom began to grow. But it started out as just a tiny little thing. But look at how it has grown. Now, we were talking about how Zechariah tells us, who shall despise the days of small things? You see, if you think about it, David was a mustard seed. David came from a family of 8 brothers. He's helping me preach this morning. Came from a family of 8 brothers. And these brothers didn't want the job. Since he was the youngest, he had to be the caregiver of the sheep. But this little mustard seed, David, God had a plan for him. You see, David literally became a giant killer and king of Israel. Again, started with a little mustard seed. You see, what I want you to understand this morning is when God sees us, he doesn't see the way we look upon ourselves. We're nothing. There's nothing we could ever accomplish for God. When God sees us, he doesn't see who we are. He sees what we can become. And that reminds me of Gideon, another mustard seed. Listen, Gideon came from the smallest family and the smallest tribe, but God made him a great military leader. Again, a mustard seed. But that's how the kingdom of God began. Tiny. And again, people today still mock Christ. They still don't believe he's resurrected. In fact, there's some folks I've run into people that don't even believe he ever existed. But beloved, listen to me. He's alive. He lives forever. And through his death, burial, and mighty resurrection, we have the kingdom of God, and it's expanding day after day, and it's just like the word says. How many of you know, and I'm going to use a theological term, preachers like to throw out them big words, perpetuity. The Bible tells us when it comes to his kingdom, it will be in perpetuity. What does that mean? It means it will be everlasting. It will be eternal. It will run in infinity. That's what it means. I'm a smart preacher, ain't I? Because I know the definition of perpetuity. I did learn something when I was in school. Not a whole lot. But I learned this. You know what? If I've got this, that's all I need in life. It'll get me from here to there. And that's where I'm looking to get. How about you this morning? Now, the kingdom of God started out as a little seed. Look at what he says. Like a grain of mustard seed which was sown in the earth. It's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, what does it do? It grows up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So, mustard seed, it builds. Amen? It builds. And think about the kingdom of God just for a second. Again, everybody said Jesus was crazy. His followers were nuts. And it's true, on the day of Pentecost, he had about 120 that were truly devoted to him. But listen to me, on that day, something wonderful happened. 3,000 souls were saved. And a few days later, another 5,000 souls were saved. And a little time after that, the church of Jerusalem, they say, became about 50,000 in membership. Think about that. Something that started out as a little bitty mustard seed grew. The kingdom grew into what it is. Now listen, the kingdom today, even though there's people that want to stamp it out, don't want no part of it, they want to do away with it, listen to me, the kingdom is still here, it will always be here, and it will continue to grow. And people that give into the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will be saved and their lives will be changed. I guarantee you. And it's still expanding today. And a man can come against it all they want. They can try their best to stamp out this word. But Jesus said that my word shall dwell forever. Amen. It's never going to be stamped out. And this is a building. We are the church. They may close the doors to this building, but I'm here to tell you, we as the church will continue to worship the Lord. We may have to do it in a park. We may have to do it at our homes, but we're going to continue. The church is going to continue to thrive until we're called up out of here. Amen. So don't worry about what man threatens out there. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm concerned. But my Bible tells me it's going to get a lot worse. We ain't seen nothing yet. You think it's bad now? No. It's going to get worse. That doesn't mean we're to turn tail and run, hide and stay huddled up, and not serve God. It means just the opposite. You continue in the faith. Amen. You stand. Now, think about this for a second. That little seed was planted, and it germinated, and it became a mighty tree. You see, I'm sure the disciples, when Jesus was speaking this parable to them, when he was comparing the kingdom of God, they probably weren't thinking about the kingdom as a mustard seed. They were probably thinking it more like a big mountain in majesty, or a rolling river, or even a mighty tree. But they had no conception that, why would he use a tiny mustard seed as an example of the kingdom? Because Jesus, one, spoke in parables so that they would understand, and two, the kingdom of God started with that little bitty seed. Didn't start out as something large. Started small, but beloved, it's still here, and I'm thankful to be a part of it. Amen. Now, it says that the birds of the air, fowls, birds. By the way, fowl. I've always wondered, why would anybody eat fowl? Fowl. To me, that's bad stuff. But birds. And it said they lodged on the limbs. Why? Because there they found shelter. There, they found protection. And beloved, we that know Jesus and have accepted the gospel and are saved, we have also found shelter in the kingdom of God. We have found peace and protection in the kingdom of God. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. But listen, not only in the sense of the birds of the air, but think about in humanity alone, what has taken place because of the kingdom of God. Think about orphanages that have been built for those that have no fathers and mothers. Think about homes and shelters built for those that are homeless. Think about hospitals that care for the sick. Think about those that are bereaved and have lost loved ones. God's kingdom and His gospel has brought comfort and peace to them. You see, that is what the kingdom of God does. And if you are a part of it, and by the way, I'll go ahead and say, you and me, we're mustard seeds. Y'all understand that? We're mustard seeds. How do I know? Well, we all began as sinners. The Bible says we are dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says that there is a death sentence hanging over all of us. But God in His infinite wisdom and His grace and mercy sent His Son to die in our place so that you and I could be saved. So we started out as a mustard seed. And as we are maturing and growing in Christ, we're bringing honor and glory to God's kingdom. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. We're not saved just to have our fire insurance and sit on a pew. We're to serve. Amen. And there's many ways to serve the Lord. Many ways. And again, I'm thankful for this church. We've got men that if you mention something, it's done. Thank God for that. And I appreciate it. And I'm not leaving you ladies out. You ladies cook for us. You clean for us. You do a lot of things around here that we won't you to know we appreciate and we thank you for. But the main reason men and women do what they do that are saved is for the honor and glory of God. That's why we do it. Amen. Not to be recognized, but to glorify the Father. Now, think about this. That old tiny mustard seed, little bitty thing, it also had lots of other uses. You see, they used to use a mustard seed and crush it up and make a poultice out of it for when a person would get a cold or some other symptom. They used to crush them up and make medicine for snake bites and spider bites. They used to crush them up because they would make a condiment out of it. You like mustard, don't you? Mustard on your potatoes? Mustard on your biscuits? What's wrong with y'all? Anyways, you like mustard. There you go. But my point is this. Poor old, I still see Brother Collins. He got up and brought a little two-minute devotional about the mustard greens. And that's what he said. The mustard greens, no, it's mustard seed, Brother Collins. Mustard seed. Well, whatever is mustard is good. That little guy. Don't y'all miss him. I tell you, I'm sure he's keeping the Lord in stitches up there. Amen. Anyways, there was lots of uses. And I want you to understand, there are a lot of uses for you in the kingdom of God, if you'll just make yourself available. But I'm thankful when I was wounded by sin and degradation, that I had enough sense to put the poultice of the Lord Jesus Christ on. And He forgave me and saved me and healed me. And He's done the same thing for you this morning. You see, the kingdom of God started out small, but look at what it is today. See, I wrote down, God has a way of bringing great things out of humble, I can't even read my writing, out of humble beginnings. How many of you history nuts? History is my favorite subject in school. Probably the only thing I ever really did good. If you have ever read the story of Winston Churchill, you'll find that when he was a little old red-headed boy, he was the last person anybody ever picked to put on the team at school. But do you understand? God made him such a great leader of men. He led England during World War II to victory. And then, of course, I think about a man that stuttered, was kind of awkward, that God said, you know what? I want you to bring the law of God to the people of Israel. Y'all remember his name? It was Moses, right? And then I studied about a character, a great man of God years and years ago that was so shy he wouldn't talk to anyone. In fact, he was a shoe salesman. And his boss said, listen, you're going to have to peddle those shoes. Listen, not people just ain't going to walk up and say, I'll take this pair. You have to sell. And literally, D.L. Moody, after coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and called to evangelize, literally shook this world for Christ. Again, it began as a little bitty seed, but it became great. And you may be under the sound of my voice this morning and you say to yourself, God could never use me. I'm nothing. I couldn't do it. God says you can. And He will if you'll allow Him. You just have to allow Him. Amen? You see, the kingdom of God may be small in its beginnings, but look at it today. I'm so thankful for the kingdom of God. And through the kingdom of God, through the gospel that is proclaimed through that kingdom, there have been only God knows how many people through time that have been saved and had their lives changed. In fact, my Bible tells me one of these days there is going to be a multitude that's going to stand before God. And the number is going to be so great, it's going to be innumerable. And you know what they're going to be doing? And we're going to be a part of that bunch, those of us that are saved. We're going to be praising the Lord for our salvation. Amen? Think about that. Don't believe it? Read the book of Revelation. Chapter 7 will show you. Innumerable. And that's through the kingdom of God that proclaims the gospel, the true gospel. Now, there are those out there that will tell you that God and Jesus are not the same. There are those out there that will tell you that, hey, He's not alive. And by the way, this stuff that He's the only way, nope, they're wrong. Any true member and true church that is a part of the kingdom of God will proclaim His deity and will proclaim His virgin birth, and they will proclaim He is the only way, the only life, and the only truth. Amen. Anybody else that doesn't do that, any church, they're not preaching the gospel. And I'll get into trouble. They're probably not in the kingdom if they ain't preaching the true gospel. His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's the gospel. And we must give that out every opportunity we have. When you come through those doors, you're going to know when you come to Lone Mountain, you're going to hear about Jesus, His birth, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We don't proclaim the gospel. We're not doing what God has called us to do in His kingdom. I'm thankful to be a part of the kingdom of God. How about you this morning? You see, while it started small, look at what it is today. And I know people are wanting to stamp it out. They're trying to say, oh, it's not thriving like it used to. And it's true. ain't quite as many revivals as there used to be. You saw in the 1800s that great Reformation, that great revival movement. Now, go over to England, it's hard to find a local New Testament church. But it's just not England, it's everywhere. But listen to me. That seed was planted and it germinated. And there's still a remnant out there in the world today. And they may stamp out Christianity, they may do everything in their power to just do away, but listen to me, the Lord says His church will live in perpetuity. It ain't going nowhere because it is infinite and eternal and everlasting. Amen? Now, we all have the privilege, don't we, of being a part of the kingdom. And you know, everybody gave him a hard time in his earthly ministry concerning the kingdom. Well, show us the kingdom. Because they literally had it in their mind that the kingdom was literally going to be built and it was going to come against the Romans. But no, he was talking about the spiritual kingdom. Listen to me. His kingdom is real and we're a part of it. And one day, when the millennial reign of Christ starts, he'll be on his throne in the kingdom, ruling and reigning in righteousness. And we will be his subjects. Amen? So you have nothing to fear. Just because you can't see with your eyes right now doesn't mean it's not real. You know, Jesus, you're a part of that kingdom. Is he your king? Are you part of the kingdom? I'm privileged and honored that I can say I'm a part of that kingdom. He's my king. And he's your king, if you know him. I'll close with this. One other example. How many of you have ever heard of Martha Berry? Martha Berry. Well, see, she was born like in mid-1860s or whatever, and she's born in Rome, Georgia. And Martha Berry came from a very well-to-do family, very wealthy. And when she was 12 years old for her birthday, she goes, "Father, I would like a playhouse built behind the house." Well, they were so rich, he didn't build her a playhouse, he built her a cabin and put it in the backyard. And one afternoon, she was in the cabin and she was a Christian and she was studying her Bible and she heard kids laughing and playing. And she came out of her cabin and she looked and she saw several boys and girls. And they come from the other side of the tracks. They were poor, uneducated kids. So she says, "Please come over here." And they came to her cabin and she had a Bible study with them. Well, every week then, she told them to come to the cabin and they would have a Bible study. Well, she knew that they were uneducated and they couldn't go to school. So what did she do? She started teaching them how to read and to write. She started teaching them arithmetic and other lessons. So she did that for a long time till she was about 40 years old. And she goes, "You know what?" She goes, "What am I doing?" She goes, "I am going to grant my land to building a college." And she built a college for all those boys and girls that were poor and would have never had an opportunity for an education. And now there's Berry College today. You can look it up. It teaches nursing, all kinds of different things. Economics, accounting. But it also has a theology department. And over the process of time, What began with just one building became two. Now it's got 38 different buildings set on 28,000 acres. It's called Berry College. Now, what started out as a mustard seed in a cabin today is one of the finest colleges in all of the South. Think about that. Now, if God can do that with a cabin, and He can do it with other characters in His Word, what do you think He can do with you? If you're willing to come to Him. If you've never accepted the gospel, I pray that today you will come and place your soul in the hand of God. Ask Jesus to save your soul, and He will do it. He will not cast you away. And watch what God does in your life. If you're saved this morning, and you know you are, I will also encourage you, place your life in God's hand and watch what He does with you. What begins with real small becomes great with God. So, what is the message of the mustard seed? It's simply, God can take little and make it great. And while I'm speaking during this invitation, those birds, those fowl that laid upon those branches represent lost people. Amen. You're going to find safety and security from all harm if you'll come to Jesus in faith. Now, there are several parables that coincide with this one. And I've heard several preachers preach on them parables. My pastor did it. And he used to say, well, over there where the seed fell amongst the soil, the birds came and ate. He said, well, those were devils. Those were demons. And it's true, and I believe that. But listen to me. I believe those fowls that are on that branch on the kingdom of God, because that's what it represents, are safe and secure and can obtain salvation if you just ask. Amen? I truly believe that. One other thing, and I'll hush. When it comes to the kingdom of God, if you're part of it, hold your head up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Too many of us act like we're ashamed. I'm not worried about me being ashamed. I just don't want him to be ashamed of me. And I and you, if you know Jesus, are in the kingdom. And if you're there, praise God, we have nothing to worry about what's going to happen in this old world. Because we know the end of the story. We know that one of these days, and I believe soon, we're going out to meet Him in the air. But if you're here and you can't say you're in the kingdom, let's get that settled right here now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Not tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow may never come. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today, that's all we have. He tells me in His Word, tomorrow may not be here. In fact, He tells me that life's a vapor. Listen, you blink your eyes and you're out of high school. Blink them again, you're married, you got kids. Blink them again, you got grandkids. Blink them again, you're over 60. Blink them again, it's done. So while we're here, make the most of it. Serve Him in His kingdom. Amen.